Thank you, Brother Bill. Thank you for those good songs. That was great. And thank all of you for being here this evening, and welcome back to Prairie Village Church of Christ. Again, this evening we have the honor and the privilege to come together and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think of what the prophet Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 2 and verse 20 when he said, "But the Lord is in his temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." That, brethren and friends, should be our purpose this evening. But first, let's turn our songbooks, if you would, to page 656. That'll be our last song of the evening, and Brother Bill's going to sing that for us, but I want us to look at that right now. This is a song that we sing from time to time. It's a beautiful song. And in these song books, it's number 656. And I want us to turn there and read the words before we begin this evening. It's "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." And the words are as follows. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again." Now, aren't those beautiful sentiments expressed in that song? I just love that song. There have been times, standing in assembly of brothers and sisters in Christ, lifting up our voices together in song, that I've had a chill go through my spine just thinking about the nearness and the dearness of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, just like we had Friday night. Truly, there is no other group of people on earth who would be so ready to help me in my need than my brethren. Yet have you ever noticed that we sometimes forget the sacredness and the closeness of our relationship one to another, and we act so independently? Brethren will need help, but they won't tell anybody. A brother or sister will be having a problem of some sort, and for some reason they figure, well, I'll just handle it on my own. Brethren will be facing serious health problems, and they won't tell the church. There may be financial reversals. And some brethren will let themselves get into desperate situation before they'll let their brothers and sisters in Christ know. And I don't know why we do this. I find myself doing the same thing sometimes. I find myself saying, well, I don't need any help. I don't need any help. Sometimes we're so fiercely independent that we lose sight of the fact that we're all just members of a body that belongs to the Lord Jesus. And I want to take the time this evening to read a passage that we're all familiar with. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning with verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul wrote, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have become more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there shall be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Just as parts of the body work together to produce a healthy, functioning person, so too of each of us individually fit together with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ that make up the healthy, functioning body that is His church. And you know something, brethren? I don't think that I'd want to live very long at all in a world that, where there was no spiritual, where there was so spiritually destitute that I could not know the love and sustaining faith and comfort of a fellow Christian, a fellow servant of the King of Kings. I wouldn't want to live in that world. I wouldn't want to live in a community or a nation where it proved to be impossible to convert at least one person into a Christian with whom I could share the common hope of salvation and all the other spiritual blessings that are found only in Christ. Come with me, brethren, if you would, to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verses 20 through 1 John 5 and verse 2. That's 1 John 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So brethren, to prove to love the Lord is to love those who are his. The tie that binds Christians together in love is a cherished tie, one that is dear to every heart of every Christian, and it certainly should be. But the tie that binds is just not something to talk about. It is real, and it performs a definite and necessary function. The tie that binds us together, brethren, exerts a powerful, powerful influence. We can help each other avoid the pitfalls of sin. We can lift each other up from frustration and despair and anguish. We can be the shoulders to help that brother or sister bear a burden that seems to be too heavy for them for a time, and we can be there with a tissue to help dry those tears. And when I think of the words of that song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, you know what it reminds me of? Let me ask you, have you ever watched a movie about a mountain climbing expedition in which a group of mountain climbers work and struggle together to reach the peak of some great mountain? Have you ever seen one of those? I'm sure you have. As they make their way up the treacherous, slippery slopes, they're bound together by ropes, very strong ropes, mind you, that are designed to save the life of any one of them that should be so unfortunate to slip or fall. So bound together like that, they make their way over the icy waters and the icy craters and the snow-covered crevices, which if they fell into, they would die. But they can do it. They can do it because the tie that binds them together is the tie that saves and preserves life. It enables them to safely conquer the great obstacles that no one person could ever overcome. That's the image that first sentence of that song gives to me. And brethren, we are on a path that leads to the peak of the mountain. And there are undoubtedly dangers along the way. But we are bound together. And I'm not going to let you fall to your death, and you're not going to let me fall. When I reach an obstacle that is giving me real trouble getting over, you're going to pull me up by the tie that binds us. And I'm going to do the same for you. The Scripture set forth so many of the duties and services that Christians render to each other. And we are to do these things because of the tie that binds us. God's Word teaches us that we are to love one another with a pure heart fervently, as Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. In honor, we are to prefer one another, Paul told the Romans in Romans 12 and verse 10. When one of us is in need, Paul said that we are to step in and help. Remember his words of Romans 12 and verse 13 when he wrote, distributing to the necessity of saints? We care about one another, and because we do, we will admonish those of our number who are walking disorderly. We will encourage those who might be beginning to stumble, and we will support those who are weak. Turn to James 5, if you would. James chapter 5. Now, when we see a brother or sister who has fallen, we will restore, or we will seek to restore that person, remembering that James wrote in James 5, verses 19 and 20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. When we speak in such a way as to give grace to those who hear us. We go out of our way to be kind and to be considerate. We are Christians, brethren. We are Christians. And Christians can be depended upon to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the way Paul put it so beautifully in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. More than any other group of people on this earth, Christians can be found working that which is good towards all men, but especially towards their fellow Christians. We are to be hospitable without complaint, and if we're reviled, we will return blessing. It's true that even alone, a child of God can accomplish a great deal of good in the Master's service. Even alone. Even if every other Christian on this earth were to deny the faith, we can individually continue faithfully, and that is what the Lord would expect us to do. But doesn't having brothers and sisters in Christ make the journey enjoyable and the load much easier to bear? Solomon spoke of the benefits of companions in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And I think we ought to look at that this evening. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4. Solomon wrote, beginning with verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So you know something, brethren? This is the tie that binds. That extends even, there is a tie, by the way. There is a tie that binds. It extends even into the grave. It's clear that in the first century there was an anxious excitement. There was an eager anticipation for the return of the Lord Jesus in His glory. And there are many passages that indicate that the first century Christians believed that the return to be imminent. They thought it was going to happen any moment, and they were worried about it. They were worried about the ones that had gone on before them. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we find there that some of the Thessalonian brethren had died, and there was a concern among those still living that their departed brothers and sisters were somehow going to miss the great hope that had moved them to be Christians in the first place. But Paul's point to them was that there was no reason for such sorrow. Sorrow is those who have no hope, because those who had gone on still had the hope and would still enjoy the glory when the Lord came back. Thus, the tie that binds extends even into the grave. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, let's read. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that's dead, there that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He goes on to say, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We can't fully understand the idea of the blessings to be found in Christ until we come to know and appreciate the value of our brothers and sisters in Christ. This can't be done. Jesus built the church in such a way as to make us all dependent upon one another. We are dependent upon one another. So, brethren, let us not try to be so fiercely independent that we don't take advantage of one of the blessings that the Lord has provided for us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know what I'd do without my brothers and sisters in Christ. Brethren, when you need help, let your brethren help you. Let them help us. Let them help you. Tell us. Tell the church. Tell the brethren. Let others know what you need. Let others share the burden, because that is a privilege. It's not a burden. It's a privilege to brothers and sisters who love each other. Let people know. I'm sure that here at Prairie Village, there are so many different stories. I'm sure there's a lot that I don't even know about. I don't know that much about every one of you individually yet. I hope to someday. But there are those who need encouragement or a pat on the back, or they need the assurance of prayers offered, or maybe they need physical help in some different kinds. We are a family. If we tell our brothers and sisters what we need, that we need help, and if all of us here will be on the lookout for a brother or sister who might need help, then nobody should be overlooked and nobody should ever, ever have to carry a burden greater than they can handle. Blessed be the tie that binds. You may be asking yourself, what are some of the ways for us to be better Christians? Well, we could go to the post office and buy a few airmail envelopes and write a letter to a brother preaching in a distant, difficult work for Jesus. That's one way. We can express our thanks to those who are working to spread the gospel close to home. Tell the preacher you appreciate his efforts. Mention a particularly helpful point from a sermon. His spirits will be lifted because of the hours and study and preparation help change your life. Tell the Bible class teacher or a deacon or a song leader or a dedicated saint that you appreciate their work. You can refresh the elders if you tell them that you're thankful that they take on the responsibility of watching out for your soul and to help you go to heaven. We can send a birthday card to a brother. A few minutes invested in visiting the nursing home or the funeral home can make a lasting impression upon our brethren that we truly care. Just the other night, Friday night, one of the young men, he preaches quite a bit, come up to me and he said, do you remember when I was obeyed the gospel? He said, you sent me a card congratulating me. Well, that's probably been 10 years ago. I did not remember that, but he remembered that. He never forgot that. Never forgot that I sent him a card encouraging him and congratulating. Now he teaches and he does quite a bit of preaching. So little things like that, brethren. It doesn't take long. Sometimes brethren can become weak and fall away because they think nobody cares about them. So instead of looking out for number one, let's look out for those that don't even have a number. No one is insignificant to the Lord. He died just as much for the most unlovable brother as he did for me and you. How I treat an unimportant brother or sister reveals a true measure of my love for Jesus. And finally, brethren and friends, how have we been treating the Lord? How have we been treating the Lord, brethren? Oh, that we could have the love and refresh our brethren with the same love that Jesus has for us. So if there's anyone here this evening who has not named Jesus' name, I don't know where there is, I don't believe there is, but if there is, why don't you become a child of God? And you do that by confessing Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. Then you must repent of your sins. Then you must be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And if there's anyone here that is a child of God and you've drifted away, this is a good time to take care of that. And you do that by coming forward now as we stand and as we sing, and let the congregation pray with you and pray for you. If we can help anyone make their life right with God, please, please come forward this evening as we stand and as we sing.